As we sit, can we just pray together as we reflect again on this Christmas season? God, our Father, we thank you for all your blessings to us, and we pray that we will be able to have hearts to hear your message to us in Christ, your ever-presence with us, if we choose to hear. So speak to us, Lord, we pray, now, in the coming 10 days, and through our lives to glory, we pray. In your name, amen. So all looking forward to it, are we? Oh, crikey. Right. Well, I hope I am, certainly. All the festivities in the next couple of weeks, the food and the drinks, the presents and the parties, the family and friends. How truly blessed we are we not?
Yes.
Oh, good. Right, we are agreeing on something. So I'm sure we're all intent on having a wonderful Christmas time. I pray too, though, that we recognise all of our celebrations, all of our life needs a grounding. And what I want to say over this Christmas season, that is a grounding of silence. And this is a theme that will run through the Christmas services. So to hear it all, it's a three-part Christmas special, in other words. So you've got to hear first part tonight, and then you come at midnight, Christmas Day, you get the second part, and then the third part is on December the 30th. And you may think that silence is not a very exciting thing to be talking about. No, and a bit of paradox talking about it anyway, I suppose. But then there's no screens, is there? There's no glitz of Strictly Come Dancing or anything like that. It is silence that we're talking about. Simple silence. So it may not sound very exciting, but I want to say to you, if you truly want to know God, if you truly want to be at peace in this world, you have to make and use silence in your life. If you want to know presence beyond the material, you have to. Make time to centre your life in prayer and silence with God. And you have to have an attitude, an approach to life, a mindset, call it what you will, that actually is an inner sense of silence, because there's a silence of humility, a humility of being. Humility and silence go closely together. This is about belief in the Christian truths, but much more it is about faith, deepening our lives in God. It is about taking to the core of our being, to our very soul, the Saviour, that a Saviour has been born for us. And God is with us and there present for us, if only we choose to be open. For such release, salvation, we have to give ourselves over to God in silence. And then we will find, I do promise you, if you want to do this, you will find his love, his mercy, his strength, his peace, his joy, his power. You will know the Christmas story to be true by practicing it, by opening yourselves up to God in the silence. For God works in the silence. Hear these ancient words of Jewish scriptures written many years before Christ that Christians have taken supremely to refer to Christ, to the events of Christmas. It says this, "While gentle silence enveloped all things and night in its swift course was now half gone, your all-powerful word leaped from heaven from the royal throne." It is beautiful words, is it not? In the gentle silence where nothing seemed to be going on, where nothing was happening, your all-powerful word leaped from heaven from the royal throne. In the glorious words we will hear in a moment from John's Gospel, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory." Nothing apparently happens, but everything does. In a quiet backwater of the world, apparently just another baby is born. But the baby who, as those with eyes to see recognise, is the Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord. It is also apparently unremarkable and at the same time also uniquely, awesomely significant. How silently the wondrous gift is given. And so silently then, because, to say again, and we'll keep saying, this is where God is found. Yes, God is the God of mighty miracles. He is seen in the tremendous power of nature. But quintessentially, God works and is known, is experienced in the apparent ordinariness of silence. You see this working through in the Christmas story, in the Annunciation, Mary's attitude of silence, of humble acceptance. "May your word be fulfilled," she says. And then reflect further on what is going on in the Nativity, a story again of humility and silence. The silence of Christ, the self-emptying, his humility, who, as we've heard in the beautiful words from Philippians, being in very nature God, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. This making yourself nothing is an emptying of the self, a dying to your own desires and wishes, that you may simply be open to God and to love. And this humility, if you read and take the Matthew's Gospel, you'll find that humility marks the life of Jesus all the way through his life. Probably the only person in history who has so completely led such a life of humility. Robert Cardinal Sara writes in his book, The Power of Silence, from the crib to the cross, silence is constantly present. Silence, humility in order to love. So God in Christ lived in humble silence, for silence is his preferred way. And working in nature too in silence. Mother Teresa said this, God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grows in silence. See the stars, the moon and the sun, how they move in silence. Well, silent to us anyway. The idea is that God, the life force of the universe, is constantly present working, constantly present there in the silence. The life force that is creativity, love, peace, joy, goodness, and more. And as we approach the silence and open ourselves, those things come to us too. Love, joy, peace, goodness, and more. But of course we don't, do we? We are so reluctant. We don't center ourselves. We don't enter into silence. We don't, to be honest, and I speak to myself too, practice our faith. We don't easily choose to live as Jesus did in silent humility of being. We fill our lives with activity and noise, do we not? 2.5 hours of Strictly Come Dancing last night, anybody? We did about half an hour, so I have to say. But filling our noise with love, with noise and activity. Perhaps the devil is to blame. In the Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis had the devil saying this, music and silence, how I detest them both. How thankful we should be that all has been occupied with noise. We will make the whole universe a noise in the end. The melodies and silences of heaven will be shouted down in the end. How difficult silence can be. How we can make noise and activity simply to avoid it. Back in the days of the glorious summer, I recall speaking to a man about going on his forthcoming family holiday. He said he was dreading it. He was dreading the inactivity, his great fear of being bored. I suggested to him it might be a good time to contemplate, to reflect. He replied something to the effect of, heck, don't leave me alone with my own thoughts. And my guess is that so much of our activity, so much of the screen attention and all of that is to avoid our own thoughts and avoid the silence where actually, though, we may find so much more that is so much more powerful for ourselves in our lives. The philosopher Pascal famously said, all the unhappiness of men arises from one single fact that they cannot stay quietly in their own chamber. And maybe if we see around us in our political discourse too, maybe so much of the confusion of the last 2+ years has arisen because men could not and women could not stay quietly in their own chamber. To have a humility of silence is a way to know truth and to know the presence of God. And I would say more and more that we need this silence in our own lives, but nationally too. A silence and simplicity of being that may help us to address the challenges of climate change, may help us to address the political situation we're in. Another philosopher, Kierkegaard, said this, observing the present state of the world and life in general, from a Christian point of view, one had to say it is a disease of noise. The very first thing that must be done is this, create silence, bring about silence. God's word cannot be heard, create silence. He was referring to the turbulent times of the 19th century, but they could be written surely for today. So nationally and through, but in our individual lives, to know that silence is where God works and can be found. And to reflect again on that Christmas night of 2,000 years ago, in the words of Cardinal Sara, Jesus comes to this earth during a peaceful and silent night while mankind is sleeping. Only the shepherds remain awake. His birth is surrounded by solitude and silence. And as we've seen, Jesus, God incarnate, lives amongst us in this humility, this silence of being. So enjoy the festivities. I certainly am aiming to. But in all the busyness, If we do not find a still centre of silence of humility, we will always struggle. But God is there, in that ordinariness, the everyday, the silence. It is a silence from physical noise, a silence that is a quiet, receptive heart, a silence that is humility. How will you do it? If you want to do this, how will you do it? Well, you need a space, and I suggest not outdoors, because there's too many distractions. People say they find God in walking, and I'm sure they do, but that's too much of a distraction. In a quiet room, on your own, just give yourself over into the silence. Pray God be there, and then just hand over all of your thoughts and thinking and feelings and desires, and then just be silent and allow God to come to you. Pray for him to fill you with all of his presence, the God who is there in the silence. So may we have a truly wonderful Christmas time full of celebration and festivities, when I pray that we will, this Christmas and through our lives, be grounded in silence and humility in God. Amen.